She shut the trunk, walked around to the driver's side of the car, and got in. She did not look at Cap in her side mirror as she started the car. No thumbs up or wave. Then he watched her leave again. He was left with Hoss, who'd worn himself out and was now just lying at Cap's feet, making half-hearted grunts.
"Mr. Hoss," said Cap, "someone who owes as much money as you do and has a bench worn out on them shouldn't be threatening to sue anyone."
Hoss made a sound that was like someone talking in his sleep. Cap squatted over him and pulled out his phone.
"So, who's it gonna be first?" he said. "Your ex? Or the cops?"
Hoss's eyes rolled toward him and blinked. Cap took the apple out of his mouth, and Hoss took a breath like he'd been rescued from drowning. Chapter 4 Cap had 15 minutes to clean the shit out of his office before Vega would be back. This was after Haley Hoss's trashy lawyer had left with a signed IOU from Hoss, and Cap had called a cab to take Hoss to the hospital to have his dick iced. He shoved every loose-leaf sheet of paper into a big black hefty bag and tried to make the stacks on his desk look more like papers that were about to be filed instead of papers that were about to be shoved into a big black hefty bag. He thought only briefly about what exactly he was doing, why he was meeting with Vega again, what he would say to her when she arrived. He knew himself well enough and had had enough sessions with a shrink to know that the reasons that he did things were not immediately accessible to him until sometime later. Then, like seeing something on the street that he'd seen in a dream the night before, it would click. "So that's why I did that." He put his hands on his hips and surveyed the room. The motion sensor light in the driveway came on, and he could hear her coming. Then the knock. He took a breath and held it. He sat on the leather love seat, Vega in a wooden chair, perched on the edge again. She leaned over her laptop on the low coffee table, started tapping various keys. "Here's the feed from the parking lot, 11:48, she said, swiveling the laptop toward Cap. Cap watched. The car containing the Brandt girls was not directly surrounded by any other cars. The lot was fairly empty. Springfest, thought Cap. One of the girls was in the front seat, passenger side, and he could see her shape, but not her face. The feed was black and white, the camera probably 30 feet from the car and slightly to the left. The face flickered with movement, became lighter. "She's turning her head," said Vega.
"Talking to her sister in the back seat," said Cap.
The face continued to flicker, back and forth, agitated.
"They're arguing," said Cap.
More angry flickering. Then the girl in the front seat gets out. The girl in the back seat follows. Her dress shines. Glitter, sequins, beads. Cap had put Nell in 100 of them through age 9. The two girls go out of frame. "Here," said Vega, typing. Another square screen on the laptop opened, and new footage. An ice cream shop. The camera was a foot and a half or so above the counter. A woman, two kids, and a baby sit at a booth. The Brandt girls enter, led by the older one. The girl behind the counter gives them both miniature spoons with samples, and they eat. The older one licks her spoon, front and back, keeps asking for another. After 5, the girl behind the counter tells them to pay or get lost. The older one says something smart-ass. Cap could tell by the look on her face. Squints her eyes and smirks, looks much older than 10. Then they walk out of the frame. Vega closed the window, opened another. The parking lot entrance. The older one walks out, toward the street. The younger one stops, says something. The older one keeps going. The younger one runs to catch up. Out of frame. It is 12:02.
So, the older one sees someone. Something. Walks toward it. Younger one's reluctant, but goes with her, said Cap.
Maybe someone she knows, said Vega.
So that makes your job easy, right? Said Cap.
Vega didn't turn to him, kept her eyes on the screen. Right.
Relatives, family friends, teachers, dental hygienist, pizza delivery guy, he said.
Then he pointed to the laptop.
How did you get this again?
I have a guy.
Same guy who found Haas?
She nodded.
That's quite a guy. Hacker, right?
She didn't exactly smile, but the muscles in her face relaxed. Affection, Cap thought. Familiarity.
We call him that, but he'd say he's a contortionist. A guy who can squeeze into small spaces, said Cap.
Yes.
So, said Cap, who do you like?
No one, until I get witness statements. You said you wanted to have a conversation. She held out her hand. Here is our conversation. You want to help me? It didn't sound like a question, and it didn't sound like she was attempting to brainwash him. It was softer. It was just the truth.
How do you know that? Said Cap.
Vega sighed. Earlier, when I left, you were sure you wanted nothing to do with this. Now something has changed. You thought about it, you had a revelation, a crisis of conscience. Maybe you thought about your daughter, or your ex-wife, or your mom. Maybe you talked to someone, and they changed your mind. Maybe you decided private practice isn't what you want. I listened to your voicemail. There's anticipation in it. Short breaths. Your sentences end as questions. You sound hopeful. Cap tried to keep a game face. He did it pretty well. Had a lot of practice. But Vega seemed to see and hear everything. Every wrinkle in the skin and catch in the throat. You made your decision already, she said, before I got here. Cap glanced at the ghostly video feed on the laptop screen, the parking lot entrance, where he could almost see the smoke trail of the Brandt girls. Sometimes these things looked like fairy tales at first, but they never were. As soon as you got closer, you saw the damage, the disease. Not what monsters and wolves could do, but what regular men could do to a kid. Once he saw the body of a malnourished 5-year-old boy left to decompose in a junkie's apartment. The ME who picked him up said he was as light as a doll. I did, he said. And either you agree with Haas that I'm crazy, or you don't. Or maybe you do and you like it.
But you don't care about that either, right? The why part, said Cap.
Right. Cap looked at the two open windows on the screen. Empty lot. The girls wandering out to the street like sleepwalkers. Dreaming. Vega stayed in the car. They had driven together in cabs, but agreed she would not get out. Instead, she moved into the driver's seat and watched from across the street. Cap stood in the lot where Vega had parked earlier. He leaned against a car and thumbed the screen on his phone. She watched a man come out of the building, down the steps, and around to the lot. He was overweight, pants a little too short. He and Cap started with a handshake, then man-hugged, pat-pat-pat on the back. You haven't seen him for a while, thought Vega. They chit-chatted. Small talk, easy back and forth, how's the wife, kids, house. Then it started to go on for too long. 4, 5, 6 minutes. Come on, thought Vega. Too much time goes to this shit, she thought. Should we play they could be naked, raped, dying, dead, all of the above? She sent a text to Cap and put her hands on the wheel. She watched him look at his phone. Stop wasting time. Ask him. Cap paused.
You okay? Said M.
Cap smiled at him. Wiley Emerson. He was the same. Always too loud and too fat, but earnest, honest, and surprisingly savvy when it came to police work. There had been a lot of talk when Cap left about how close they would stay. One very long night at Smith's Roadhouse when Em had hugged him and cried, snorted into Cap's shirt and said, "Thank you. Thank you." Cap peered across the street at Vega in his car. She pointed at him, pressed her fingertip against the window. "Ask him," said the finger.
"Yeah," Cap said at first. Then, "No, I need something, Em. I need a favor."
"Anything, man," said Em.
He meant it.
"Nah, don't say that yet," said Cap.
"I need the favor."
"The favor?"
"Oh," said Em.
Then, as it sank in, again,
"Oh.
I need the witness statements, Em, from the Brandt case."
That took Em a second. Cap watched him deflate, Thanksgiving Day float style.
What do you mean?
"I'm working the case, with someone the family hired."
"The woman from California?" said Em.
"Yeah, that's her. She went to see Junior. Obviously, he doesn't want her help."
Em rubbed his chin, then his cheeks with his palms.
"Oh, man. Oh, Cap, I don't know, man," he said.
"Em, this woman, the one from California, she's good, and we can help. We can all work together. All you have to do is make me some copies."
Cap was not entirely sure when he had become so confident in the mission. But as he spoke, he felt himself getting excited, felt popping and clicking in pockets of his brain where he hadn't noticed activity in a while. He used to feel it most days when he was a cop, but it came along with anxiety, tension, paranoia.
"Cap, I want to help you. I mean, hell, we need you right now. You could cut through so much of this bullshit and get to the center of it, man. I know you could, but I don't know if I could do that."
"You're not going to get caught, Em. And Junior can't fire you anyway. He needs bodies."
Em looked over his shoulder, cursorily.
"I thought they couldn't fire you either," he said,
rubbing his eyes, red patches spreading underneath the lids.
"And they did."
Cap nodded, said,
"I resigned, actually."
I know, you did. For me. But I can't. I can't.
Cap didn't make him finish.
"Can you at least tell me if you got anything solid?"
"Hell no, we got nothing."
Then he leaned forward and whispered,
"They say the older sister hugged the guy when she crossed the street. That's it."
He shook his head.
"I've slept like 5 hours in 3 days, which is fine if we're getting somewhere, but we're going in circles. Junior said a fed's coming in, but I don't see how that's gonna help because we got shit leads. It's like trying to hold on to sand."
Vega watched the fat guy get exasperated, wipe his face, his eyes. She watched Cap laugh, calm, steady. This is how he does it, she thought. He stays calm and steady while the other guy panics. Until when, though? Pin him, she thought. Pin him like a goddamn moth on a board. The fat guy shook his head, kept shaking it. "Are you telling me no?" She took her hands off the wheel and opened the door. How many seconds would it take to cross the street and hit him in the temple? Then she stopped. Junior Hollows at the top of the steps. She pulled her leg back in and shut the door. Cap saw Junior, and Junior saw Cap, and Em turned around and looked guilty. Junior came into the parking lot, trotting, spry, to show how young and energetic he was feeling.
"Max Kaplan," he said, sticking out his hand to shake Cap's at least a yard before he reached him.
"Hey, boss," said Cap.
They shook. It was not one of those hand-crushing contests between men, because, Cap knew, Junior didn't think there were any more contests between them. Junior was still a cop, and Cap wasn't. Junior had won.
"Got some more salt in your pepper there, Cap," said Junior, touching the sides of his head like he was primping in a mirror.
Cap said, 41 in February. Just learned how to send a Twitter.
That's good, said Junior.
Junior was big on approving of people and the funny things they said.
Em, I think Rawls and Royce have something for you.
Oh, yeah, said Em with his shitty poker face.
See, Cap, I'll get some dates from Hannah.
Good boy, thought Cap. Em shuffled away, looking at Cap once before heading up the steps.
You in the neighborhood? Said Junior.
Something like that, yeah, said Cap.
Busy time over here. Got everyone hustling.
So I hear.
How's business?
Good enough. Always someone cheating.
There you go.
Junior took a serious breath through the nose now.
It's not really a great time to be catching up, Cap, I gotta be honest. We've got our hands full right now.
Yeah, said Cap.
You get a promotion, now you're handling social calendars too?
Chuckle. Laugh. Keep it light, thought Cap. Junior smiled too.
No, I know you and Em go back. We just want to keep it on personal time.
He sounded like a middle school teacher at a parent conference. We don't want Em to get confused, do we? Cap tried not to feel the old spark of fury in his chest. He'd been to enough therapy, practiced enough breathing exercises. You are not mad at Junior anymore. You can't control other people.
Because you're busy. Right, I know. Then let me ask you this, Junior. Why are you out here talking to me when you got your whole team inside busting their asses? Just came to say hello.
Cap lifted his hand, waved at the knuckles.
Hello.
Vega slid down in her seat, watched as the two men inched closer to each other while they spoke. A little shootout. She could see Cap smiling and nodding, too quick and eager. Vega's phone buzzed. It was another email from the bastard with a video attachment. The subject was Haystack. The text in the body read, "This would be the needle."
"Any reason you happen to be in the neighborhood now?" said Junior, smug. "Anything I need to know about?" "Wait a second now. Let me think about that," said Cap. "Almost had something for you there, but then I remembered... I don't work for you anymore."
He hadn't realized it, but he'd taken a step forward. Junior must have as well, because there suddenly wasn't a lot of space between them. Junior laughed again.
"Seriously, you still crack me up, man. I mean it."
Then he backed off, turned around, and started walking away. He pointed at Cap over his shoulder and said,
"Good to see you, Cap. Stay in touch."
"Yeah.
See you soon," said Cap.
He watched Junior go up the stairs to the station and thought about a word to mutter. Fuckface, or dickhead, or asshole, or other words composed of fuck, dick, and ass that Junior's personality just naturally evoked. In the end, he said nothing because it made him feel petty to mutter words alone in a parking lot after a conversation had ended. He crossed the street to his car and saw Vega moving from the driver's seat to the passenger side, staring at her phone. It crossed his mind that the seat would be warm from her body.
"That was fun," he said, getting in.
"Is your friend amenable?"
"I don't know. We were sort of interrupted."
Cap stared at the building. "What did he say? What was the head shaking?"
"They're disorganized, which I could have told you. They're overwhelmed, overworked.
Junior won't admit they're overwhelmed and overworked because he's a cocky son of a bitch who thinks he's in a James Patterson book."
"Did he say anything specific about the witness statements?"
"There's not a lot, but it's all varying reports. Different colors, different makes of cars. Someone said Kylie hugged a man across the street from the mall."
Vega stared forward at the car parked in front of them. Philadelphia Eagles number one fan, said the license plate rim. Watch this, she said, leaning over and holding out her phone. It was another video. She pressed play, and Cap watched. It was two little boys eating ice cream. This is Dylan and Michael John, and we're all here stopping for ice cream on the way to Uncle Drex and Aunt Bert's, said a woman's voice, the woman holding the camera, Cap thought. Either Dylan or Michael John held up his spoon.
I have cookie batter, he said, with M&Ms and Snickers.
The other boy was littler and just kept shoveling in the ice cream like it would be taken away from him soon. He had chocolate smeared across his mouth and cheek. The first boy kept talking about ice cream and answered his mother's questions about how excited he was to see his aunt and uncle. Cap began to recognize the store, the parking lot.
And we have Biddy Love, too, said the mother, turning the camera phone to a baby in a car seat next to her. Just a little taste, she said, her arm extending from behind the camera to feed the baby white ice cream from a plastic spoon.
The baby smiled and kicked and made a sweet seal bark. Cap smiled. There was ambient noise, too, other voices off-screen that Cap couldn't make out. The mother kept feeding and tickling the baby and asking questions, and on the screen the baby started to sink to the lower right corner, because the mother was trying to talk to the boys opposite her and feed the baby with her other hand, Cap thought. The upper left portion of the screen grew, most of it capturing the parking lot outside. And then there they were, Kylie and Bailey Brandt on the screen, outside the store, facing each other, talking. Cap leaned in closer to Vega and her phone. He rubbed his hand over his mouth and chin. Bailey pointed toward the lot. Let's go back to the car. Kylie still held a small tasting spoon from the store in her hand. She licked the back of it, which Cap thought seemed a strangely adult thing to do. Then Kylie stopped and took a few steps past Bailey, looking at something in the opposite direction, something across the street. Bailey's mouth still moved. Let's go back to the car. Mom will be angry. Kylie waved to someone, cutting a big swath through the air with her raised hand, and then she smiled. It was really more of a grin, like there had been a joke. Bailey stood behind her, tentative. Then the phone was placed down on the table and went dark.
"Where'd you get that?" said Cap.
"My guy found it. This lady put it on Facebook, called it Ice Cream in Denville."
"That was quite a smile," said Cap.
"Someone she knows," said Vega.
"Not just that," said Cap. "Someone she's glad to see."
Cap thought of it. Kylie's black smile, hovering in space like the Cheshire Cat's. Jules read that one to Nell when she was little. Cap would stand at the door. "Please, would you tell me why your cat grins like that?" Vega handed Cap his keys and said, "You ready to meet Jamie Brandt?" For as long as he'd lived there, Cap always had many shitty things to say about Denville, but he actually thought it was a beautiful place at night. Beat-up streets with potholes became quaint in the dark, porch lights on to disguise the chipped paint and scratched siding on the houses. The expanding suburb developments looked better, too. Instead of cheap, overgrown children's toys, they had an almost English countryside look to them out of daylight. Not that Cap had ever been to the English countryside, but he'd seen plenty of movies. Schultz's bar was in Black Creek. The neighborhood was full of apartment complexes and single-level homes built in the 60s, brown and yellow exteriors with shag carpet and faux wrought-iron arches inside. When Cap and Jules had been shopping around for houses back in the beginning, they'd looked at one or two there. And driving away, Jules had said, "If I have to live in a house like that, I will hang myself." Cap had said, "I will buy the rope." Then, of course, they'd laughed with the relief of their agreement on the subject. Ha! Suicide. Cap had been to Schultz's once or twice. It looked like 100 other bars. A black box from the outside, with a single rectangular window, like an aquarium. but instead of fish, there was a Yuengling sign. He and Vega parked on the street and went inside. There were a few people scattered around. A group of men hooked around the corner of the bar. A couple making out at a table next to the bathroom. Two women at the jukebox. And there was Jamie Brandt. Cap recognized her from TV, sitting at the far end of the bar with her head down. He and Vega made their way to her. Vega stopped when she was about a foot away, as if Jamie were a dog on the street. "Jamie?" Vega said. She was quiet about it. Jamie turned her head, languid, her lids heavy with exhaustion or drunkenness, or both. "You," said Jamie, pointing at Vega. "Alice Vega," said Vega.
"Right. Vega. Who's he?"
"Max Kaplan," said Cap, friendly. He looked at Jamie's hands on the bar, lying there like leaves of a dead plant, and did not extend his. Jamie licked her lips and said,
"How'd you know I was here?"
"Your aunt said you might be." Jamie laughed through her nose.
"What else she say?"
"Just that you went somewhere to be alone," said Vega. Jamie paused to take a sip of what looked like a very light beer on ice from a mug. "We have some more questions," said Vega.
"I'm sort of off the clock here," said Jamie. "I did 3 interviews today, and I talked to someone at CNN. Then I tried to find some pictures of the girls wearing different kinds of clothes other than dresses. The lawyer told us that they might be walking around in other kinds of clothes. So I've been looking at pictures of them all day. Then we've been hanging up flyers. So I come here to get drunk for 2 goddamn hours, and then I'm going to go home and sleep for 4 more and then do it over again. Maggie's got an email into the Today Show. She knows someone who knows someone."
"We need to make a list of people," said Vega.
"Cops made a list."
"We're going to make a better one. But we need you to come with us now so we can sit down somewhere and talk." There was something a little hypnotic in Vega's voice, thought Cap. The evenness. Lost on Jamie Brandt, however.
"I need an hour. I need 20 minutes, said Jamie, grabbing at her mug.
She missed it, ran her fingers into the handle instead of latching onto it, and it spilled sideways toward Cap. Ice cubes slid down the bar and dropped into Jamie's lap, then hit the floor with little wooden taps.
"Shit,"
said Jamie. The air around them seemed to freeze. Cap looked around, saw the bartender, not a small guy, coming toward them.
"Hey, Jamie, you okay over here?" he said, staring at Cap.
"I fucking spilled,"
she said, patting her lap with a wadded cocktail napkin. The bartender wiped the bar with a rag and pushed a stack of napkins to Jamie. Then he folded his arms, which made them appear bigger. He had Maya and Tori tattooed on his knuckles.
"Maybe you two ought to take a walk around the block," he said to Cap and Vega.
"Jamie," said Vega, ignoring the bartender. "Come with us now, please."
"Hey," said the bartender.
He nodded to Cap.
"You want to tell your girlfriend to chill the fuck out?"
Vega jerked her head in the bartender's direction. "Or," she said.
"You want me to come over there?" he said, leaning across the bar.
Vega's eyes went glassy, like she'd just tasted something delicious. "Wish you would," she said. Cap inserted himself between Vega and the bar, touched Jamie's shoulder.
"Jamie," he said, "we don't have 20 minutes. We don't have 1 minute. Kylie knew who took her."
Cap watched as this information snaked its way into Jamie's brain. Her face contorted, her thin, plucked eyebrows turned into little Spanish tildes.
"Cops didn't say that."
"They might not even know it yet. They're under a shitstorm of information, and they might not even have seen the footage we've seen yet."
"There's something else," said Vega. Now they all turned to Vega.
Jamie, Cap, Knuckles. They aren't telling you anything, right? They say it's part of an ongoing investigation. Jamie nodded. That's standard, said Vega. But we're not cops. We'll tell you everything we know. That seemed to wake her up. She looked from Vega to Cap, who nodded. Cap said, Kylie smiled at whoever took her. We need to make a new list. Back in Cap's office, Jamie stared at the screen and covered her mouth with both her hands and made squeaking sounds into the hollow space. Vega closed her laptop. She and Cap looked at each other. Jamie fumbled with her purse, a bright blue hobo bag with palm trees printed on it. She pulled out a pharmacy bottle of pills, flattened her palm against the lid, and tried to twist it. Her hands were shaking, and the bottle fell into her lap. Here, said Cap, holding his hand out. Jamie gave him the bottle. Cap unscrewed the top, glanced at the label. Alprazolam. Generic Xanax. Jamie shook two into her hand and brought them to her mouth, chewed them up like sweet tarts. Cap looked at the symbol of a little martini glass with a line through it on the label, thought better of mentioning it. Jamie still held a hand over her mouth, just grazing her lips.
Son of a bitch, she whispered.
Vega leaned over to her. Does anyone come to mind? Someone she'd smile like that for?
No, said Jamie. I mean, yeah, but she knows them for sure, that's all. That's what I'm thinking about.
Most kids know their abductors, said Cap.
Yeah, but how many make them smile? Said Jamie.
She wouldn't know her father well enough that she would have that kind of reaction, said Vega, pulling her laptop onto her lap.
Shit, no, said Jamie. They only seen a couple of pictures, and they're from a long time ago.
So who's the first person? The very first who you think of? Jamie thought for a moment, rubbed the temples on her head roughly.
My folks? That's stupid, huh?
It's not, said Cap. We want to rule people out, right? I was a cop for a long time, and that's how you do this. You just keep ruling people out until you get some good suspect. So put Jamie's parents on the list, he said to Vega.
Vega nodded at him, but he noticed there was some theatrics in it. Exaggeration, so Jamie could see it. Her eyes were steady on him, too. It was a familiar click. It was one partner to another.
Okay, who's the next?
Jamie shook out her shoulders like she had a chill.
I don't know. My aunt?
Right, said Vega, typing. Jamie went on, naming family members. A great-uncle, first and second cousins, a third cousin in the army who sent the girls emails from Afghanistan. All people Kylie might smile at. Then they were done with family. Then her boyfriend Daryl.
What's he do for a living? Said Cap.
He works at the bagel pub over in Cherry Point.
Would Kylie smile at him? Said Vega.
Sure, I guess. I mean, they like him well enough.
What about teachers? Mrs. Phillips for Kylie, Miss Furneaux for Bailey. They had P.E. teachers, too, but Jamie couldn't remember the names. What about, like, extracurricular types of things? Said Vega. Bailey's soccer coach was a guy named Arnab, an Indian or something, Jamie told them. He seemed nice enough. Kylie's ballet teacher was Miss Savannah. Jamie thought she might be a lesbian.
Are any of these folks angry at you for any reason? Do any of them hold a grudge that you know about? Said Cap.
Jamie tightened up her lips.
No. Everyone fucking asks me that. No. I mean, maybe I piss people off here and there because I say what I think. You know, I don't like to beat around the bush.
Can you recall the last time you did that? Piss someone off? Vega said. Jamie coughed out a laugh.
Take your pick, right? She said. Well, let's see. Last week I flipped off a guy at an intersection and he yelled that he was gonna take my license number. I called him a pussy.
Cap smiled and said, The other day, I told a woman who cut me off to suck my dick. Excuse me. I haven't said those words since maybe the 7th grade.
Jamie laughed.
I know this might be a tough one. Believe me, I know. I have a 16-year-old. Did Kylie have a crush on anyone? A teacher or an older boy she might have come in contact with? Cap said.
The girl's a natural-born flirt, said Jamie,
and there was just a little pride in her voice.
I told her she should go into business school. She could sell space heaters to Egyptians. But I don't know about anyone in particular.
What other men does she see on a regular basis? Said Vega. Besides your family and your boyfriend and teachers.
There's a kid who lives in our complex named Sonny. He's probably 15, 16. He's always sweet to her, said Jamie. But I've seen him since Saturday walking around. His mom dropped off a crumb cake. He doesn't have the girls stashed in his closet.
Jamie shook her head, almost angry. Cap thought he should ask for the kid's phone number and address, not to put him on the list, but to get Jamie's mind off the image of the girls safe and sound 100 feet away.
What about ex-boyfriends, said Vega,
men before Daryl.
Before Daryl,
Jamie said, spacey. Then she seemed to focus again.
Before Daryl, there was Chaney. Alex Chaney. I saw him about a month ago, actually.
Vega glanced at Cap.
Where'd you see him? Said Cap.
I ran into him at Valley Dis. We kind of argued.
What did you argue about?
Jamie made a sound like psh, and said,
I told him he's a fucking druggie without a job. He said I'm an uptight bitch.
What kind of drugs he do? Said Vega.
He likes Vicodin and Perc. Oxy, when he can get it.
He addicted, in your opinion?
Wasn't when I met him, said Jamie. Then he got laid off and started hanging out with some other losers, and they started snorting that shit. He stopped wanting to hang out on the weekends. He'd show up at my place Sunday morning looking like a stray dog. And, you know, I like to smoke a joint sometimes, but I don't want fucking junkies in my house.
The girls like him? Said Vega. Jamie thought about it.
Yeah, they did. Before he got into the shit, he worked at Roma Pizza for a while and used to bring them stuff from there, like garlic bread and cannolis, stuff like that. I think Kylie had a little crush on him. She was upset when I cut him off.
She comfortable with hugging him, you think? Said Cap.
Sure,
Jamie said. She looked at them.
You don't think he took them?
I don't know. Do you?
No way, man. I mean, he's a loser, but a kidnapper? I don't think so.
How'd he look when you saw him last month? Said Vega. Physically. Jamie shook her head in disgust.
Skinny? His hair was all long and greasy. I told him he looked like a homeless person.
She leaned her head against the back of the couch and yawned. The sedatives were hitting, Cap knew. Then her head popped back up suddenly.
And his breathing was funny. They could just run up a flight of stairs.
Cap looked at Vega, and there it was again. Click. At 1 o'clock, Jamie fell asleep on Cap's couch. Cap covered her with one of Nell's comforters and gestured to the door leading from the office to the house. Vega went through, and Cap led her into the kitchen. Cap's house was so impossibly cozy, it could make a person depressed. The living room was filled with plush, worn furniture, woven rugs on the creaking floors and framed photos on a brick mantel over the fireplace. The kitchen was cream-colored, retro-speckled chairs at the table, and a variety of magnets in the shapes of vegetables on the fridge. Vega peered toward the stairs and thought about what was up there. 2 or 3 little bedrooms, beds next to the windows so the sun could wake you up.
"Sorry about the mess," Cap said.
It was only then that Vega noticed the stacked dishes in the sink,
the dust balls in the corners. She shook her head. Cap took two bottles of water from the refrigerator and offered one to Vega. She took it.
"So you think Chaney's something?" said Cap.
"Could be," said Vega.
"Come on," said Cap. "Her gut is right. Junkies don't become kidnappers overnight. They don't have the energy, for one thing."
"If they run out of money for drugs, they'll find the energy. If he's out of breath after having a conversation, maybe he was in the starting stages of withdrawal. Doesn't get more desperate than that." Cap squinted.
"Then where's the ransom, the call? If he needs money so badly, why hasn't he asked for it yet?"
"Maybe he's panicking, having second thoughts and stuck."
"Or," said Cap.
"Or," said Vega. Cap pinched the bridge of his nose.
"Or he doesn't want anything from Jamie."
"There's a lot of sick fucking people out there," Vega said, her voice flat. "He could want drugs or money from one of them."
"And wants to trade two little girls for it," said Cap.
"Worth a visit, right?"
"Of course," said Cap.
He placed a fist over his mouth and yawned.
"First thing tomorrow, then."
"What's wrong with now?"
"It's 1:30 in the morning," said Cap.
Vega stared at him.
"I'm guessing you don't sleep a lot," he said.
"No." They did some more looking at each other. Vega could see the fatigue in his brow, his eyes.
"Okay," he said hoarsely,
then cleared his throat.
"Just have to stop for coffee first. You drink coffee?"
Vega shrugged. "I like a hot tea." Chapter 5. They were in a neighborhood called Mapleton, on a block where the houses were all narrow clapboards that appeared to be leaning slightly to the left or right. Cap parked across the street from Jamie's ex-boyfriend's last known address. The house was a sallow color with brown trim, and there was a window with a curtain drawn on the ground floor, a light on inside.
"Somebody's home," said Cap.
They got out of the car and crossed the street. Cap could hear music inside, classic rock, Allman Brothers or something, what Nell would call old white guy music. Cap pressed his thumb on the scuffed doorbell button and heard no sound. He and Vega glanced at each other and he knocked. There was movement inside, footsteps.
"You'll talk first, I assume," said Cap.
It had been a long time since he'd discussed tactics with a partner. Vega nodded.
"And you won't necessarily throw boiling water on his crotch and stuff him in the trunk?"
"Sure," said Vega. The peephole darkened. Then,
"Yeah?"
"We're looking for Alex Chaney," said Vega to the peephole.
"Who's looking?"
"Name's Alice Vega and Max Kaplan."
"You cops?"
"No, private investigators. This is about two missing girls. You've seen it on TV." There was a pause. Vega wiggled the fingers on one hand. Then there were locks being unlocked, and Cap got ready. It was a familiar feeling, watching a closed door, waiting to see what was on the other side. But it was rarely good, especially in the middle of the night in a shit part of town. The door opened an inch. There was a stripe of a man, not big, a white face with black stubble and a bloodshot eye. "Mr. Chaney?" said Vega.
"Yeah,"
he said, looking at both of them up and down.
"This about Jamie Brandt's kids. I don't know anything about it."
"I'm sure you don't. Look, we're not police. We're not here to interrogate you or search your property. We've been retained by Ms. Brandt's family. We are questioning everyone who knows Ms. Brandt and her daughters." Chaney looked up at the sky and hesitated.
"A little late," he said.
"Honestly, Mr. Chaney, we don't have a lot of time. Every hour that goes by, these girls get farther away from us," said Vega. "We only need about 5 minutes of your time." Another pause. Chaney scratched at his scalp like a cat with a rash. Cap could see Vega's hand moving again, impatient.
"Yeah, okay," Chaney said finally. "Long as it doesn't take too long. I'm about to go to sleep."
Cap doubted that very much, but smiled like a gentleman and followed Chaney in when he opened the door wide. The room was spare, a futon and a ratty tan couch, a cardboard box between them like a coffee table. There was a huge flat-screen television on a small stand against one wall, and the lock-up show about America's prisons on the screen. Jamie was right about the homeless person thing. Chaney was like a stick figure in paper doll clothes, with long, stringy hair to his shoulders. He picked up a lit cigarette from an ashtray on the cardboard box and brought it to his mouth, inhaled, and made a face like it hurt his teeth.
"Do you want to sit?" he said.
"We're good," said Vega. "When's the last time you saw Jamie Brandt?"
"Month ago, maybe. Couple of months. Ran into her."
"When's the last time you saw her daughters?" Chaney thought about it. He looked at the floor and blew smoke out in an O.
"Shit, I don't know. A year ago? When me and Jamie broke up?"
Vega let a few seconds pass before she said anything else, and Cap remembered this feeling, getting the distinct impression they were being lied to. "When was that exactly?" Vega said.
"A year ago, February, around Valentine's Day. Pretty rough."
He looked imploringly at Vega, as if she would understand, being a woman and all. "And you saw the girls around that time?"
"Yeah."
"Anyone you remember? Any friend or acquaintance of Jamie's stand out to you as someone who had an interest in the girls?"
"No. I don't know," he said, shaking his head.
"And when's the last time you saw the girls?" Chaney paused, then said,
Year ago.
Vega paused, and Cap turned to glare at her. Talk quickly right now, he thought. He'll crack, but you have to press. You can't give him too much time to think. But she wasn't talking. She just stared at Chaney like he was a Rorschach blot. Cap began to doubt. She was a brawler, but maybe interrogation wasn't her thing.
"So end of March, then," said Cap.
Chaney and Vega looked at him. He avoided turning to see Vega's face.
"No, Valentine's Day, right?"
said Chaney.
"You tell us. Did you see them the day you broke up with Ms. Brandt? Or before or after?"
"I don't really remember when. You know, he was around then."
"March," said Cap.
"Yeah,"
said Chaney, a light sheet of sweat forming on his forehead. Then he shut his eyes hard.
"No, man, February."
"You were close to them, the girls?"
"No. I mean, sure, they're good kids, but I wasn't like a dad to them."
"Either one of them in particular, Kylie or Bailey?"
Chaney put his hand to his head like he had an ice headache. Okay, thought Cap. Break.
"Which one were you closer to?"
"Kylie, I guess."
"You used to bring her cannolis."
"Yeah. Jamie tell you that?"
Cap nodded.
"You had a friendship."
"Yeah, I brought her stuff like that. She was a good kid. Real funny. One of those kids with a grown-up sense of humor."
Cap believed him. They were all quiet. Chaney got nervous.
"I don't know anything about the missing," he said.
He turned around and put out his cigarette in the ashtray. Stamp, stamp, stamp.
"No one said you did, Mr. Chaney," said Cap.
"I think those people are degenerates, all right? The ones who mess around with kids. Fucking degenerate motherfuckers."
He looked at Cap and Vega defiantly, waiting for them to challenge his position on child molesters. "Can I use your restroom?" said Vega.
"Huh?"
said Chaney. "Restroom."
"Yeah, down the hall, you're right."
Cap and Vega locked eyes for only a second. He could read nothing in her face. But was it because she was feeling nothing? Or she wanted Chaney to see nothing, he could not say. Then she was gone.
"Was Kylie upset that you and Ms. Brandt broke up?" Cap asked.
Yeah, I think so,
Janey said. He had a wistful look. Now this is the truth, Cap thought.
Yeah, she was sad about it,
he continued.
What made you think that? Said Cap.
You know, she was just sad about it. The way kids get sad about things.
So when exactly did you see her get sad about it? Was she there when Ms. Brandt broke it off with you?
Cheney's eyes shrank in his face.
No, no,
he said, tripping over the words.
Was it afterward, then? Did you see her after?
Yeah, must have been.
So then it was less than a year ago when you saw her last. Was it 8 months ago? 6? 4?
Janey shook his head and scratched at his neck.
No, I don't know. I just know she was bummed out about me and Jamie.
How would you know that, Mr. Janey, if you hadn't seen her after you broke up with Ms. Brandt?
Cap was calm. The situation didn't need much effort. Press a pen slowly into a water balloon and wait for it to burst. Vega quickly, quietly opened Cheney's medicine cabinet and examined the clusters of bottles on the shelves. NyQuil, Advil, Aleve. She took a ballpoint pen from the inside pocket of her jacket and used it to strip back the beige shower curtain. There was nothing in the bathtub except a brown ring and ashy spots on the floor. She opened the door to the bathroom slowly and stepped into the hallway, heard Cheney chattering and Kaplan's low tones. Down the hall was a door with a light on inside. Vega squinted her eyes, saw shadows moving around in the crack under the door. Something was in the room. "Here comes little Bad," said Perry in her head. Vega slid her boots off and walked in her socks on the carpet down the hall. She pulled the doorknob toward her and tried to turn it. Locked. Vega leaned her head back and heard Cheney and Kaplan still, Cheney's voice starting to rise. She took from her wallet a Costco rewards card that never had belonged to her, but that was long and flexible, with beveled laminated edges, and slid it directly in between the wall and the door, right above the doorknob. She left it there, padded back to the bathroom, flushed the toilet, and turned the water on in the sink. Then quickly back to the door with the light and the shadows, held the card tightly between her fingertips, wedged it next to the lock, and jimmied it. The door popped open, and a black cat with white toes jumped off a table and ran out, sliding against Vega's shins on the way. Vega was about to lean down and grab the thing by the back of the neck, but then she saw what was on the table in the room, and thought, let the girl run. Cap saw the cat first. It lingered in the doorway for a moment, and then curled around the frame into the room. Cheney was saying,
I don't have a fucking BlackBerry, okay? I don't keep track of shit.
Then he saw the cat and stared at it, froze, and pointed to the hallway. Cap held his hands out. Didn't know what the big deal was with the cat, except that it managed to look fed in a druggie's
house.
Where? Cheney started to say. Then Vega came in, taking big strides, and threw something at Cheney's head. It hit him and bounced to the floor, sounding like a maraca. Cap finally got a good look at it, a sizable prescription pill bottle.
What the fuck?
Cheney said, crouching in shock. Cap looked at Vega expectantly, but said nothing. Vega picked the bottle up and showed it to Cap, then shoved it in Cheney's face and pulled him down to the futon by the shoulder.
He's not just a junkie, she said. He's a dealer. He's got a room back there with 6 boxes of pills.
That's trespassing,
said Cheney to Cap. You let us in, Mr. Cheney, said Cap.
The fuck you care, I got Oxy? You said you weren't cops!
We're not, said Cap. But we can call them right now and draw them a little map to your back room.
When's the last time you saw either Kylie or Bailey Brandt? Vega said, standing over him, very close. Cheney panted and wiped his mouth.
Okay,
said Chaney. He ran his fingers through his hair.
I saw Kylie about a month ago. She took a bus here after school. When Jamie and I ran into each other, she was in the car and saw me.
Why did she come to see you? Said Cap. Chaney sighed.
She's a kid. She said she missed me and wanted me and Jamie to get back together. It's just 'cause they don't have a father, you know?
He looked up at Vega, then at Cap.
Look, when I heard about it, that someone took them, it broke my heart, okay? They were real cute kids.
You got a little scared, too, right? Said Cap. Thought people might come around and ask you questions.
I don't want any trouble.
What did you do when Kylie showed up at your door? Said Cap.
I took her to her grandparents' place, drove her myself.
And you didn't think to call Jamie Brandt and let her know her child was here? Said Vega. Chaney shook out his shoulders.
Kylie begged me not to tell, and no one knew she was gone. The old man watches her in the afternoon. She made up some story to tell him, and I...
Chaney paused.
I had clients here. People get freaked out they see a kid.
Makes them less likely to buy illegally obtained opiates, said Cap. He shook his head again.
I didn't have anything to do with those girls disappearing. Not a fucking thing!
Cap kept the stern look on his face for Chaney's sake, glanced at Vega, whose wide, steady eyes confirmed what he already thought, that this asshole was telling them the truth. Then Cap said, more softly, Do you remember what you talked about in the car? Did she tell you anything that stands out? Chaney leaned back on the couch and stared at the ceiling for a moment.
You know, we already had all the drama back here, so I wasn't gonna give her any more shit about running away. She told me she finally decided she wanted to be an actress. Like, she's been thinking about this a long time, right? She finally decided on a career.
He thought about it and laughed. Cap smiled, too. How serious they could get.
I asked her if she told her mom that, and she said no, that it was a secret and she was only telling certain people.
Chaney paused. He put his hands behind his head as he thought of something.
She was telling me she and a girlfriend, they had this little club. What's she call it? Secrets Club or something. They wrote down their secrets together in diaries.
You remember the friend's name? Said Cap.
Ah, man, it was a month ago. It was like a boy's name, though. I remember that. I asked if it was a boy. She said no and looked at me like I'm crazy.
He nodded at Cap.
You know, the way a girl looks at you like you're crazy?
Cap nodded, because he knew. In the car, Vega was silent, glanced at Cap's face in profile. She could tell he was trying not to yawn, his lips pinched closed, eyes watering. As soon as they got to the stoplight on the corner of Chaney's block, and Vega was sure there was no way Chaney could see them through his busted curtains, she spoke. "We said I was going to talk," she said quietly.
"What?"
said Cap. She didn't say it again because she knew he had heard her the first time. It was a boss man thing. They made you say it twice, so then you sounded like you were complaining, even if they weren't doing it consciously. He sighed.
I thought I would jump in. With guys like that, you have to keep the pressure on and not give them time to think up a lie.
Vega didn't answer. At the next stoplight, she watched him yawn into his fist toward the window, knew she had about one full second. She reached over, pushed the shift to park and turned the engine off, let the key dangle.
What the fuck are you doing?
Cap said, looking in his mirrors, disoriented.
I know guys like that, too, she said, raising her voice just a little.
This is my case, and you're the special guest star. So when we say I talk first, I fucking talk first.
Hey, you know what? Said Cap, starting the car.